What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the MLS Now podcast. This is your host, Gavin. Man, what a crazy week of MLS. What a crazy night of MLS. I'm a little frustrated, annoyed as an Orlando City fan after what went down in Austin. So I'm going to try and clear my head and talk about the league as a whole. But overall, really excited to still talk about the league, obviously. And doing that with me today is none other than David. Don't call it a comeback. David is back on the show, people. Really excited to talk some MLS and get some of his takes. So, David, take it away, my friend.
Hola, 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 hola. This is weird. It feels like, I don't know, it's just weird to me right now. Well, first of all, in case you don't follow us, I took a break from the podcast. Had to deal with some personal stuff going on. I appreciate the support. A lot of you showed support. A lot of you tweeted at me, messaged me, and I really do appreciate it. Take care of yourselves. It's very important to do that. Take care of everything that's going on in your life. Make time for yourself. Make a lot of time for yourself. I appreciate the support. I appreciate Gavin and Andrew and the rest of the crew for stepping in and taking over the podcast. It's been a wild ride. I've kept up with MLS. However, I do have a few things I would like to discuss.
Yeah, we missed you, buddy, and really excited to get some of your takes. So do you want to talk about kind of the season up to this point overall?
Linda, first of all, I didn't get the chance to congratulate Nashville and their new stadium. Congratulations. I'm really happy for you guys. Not hard copying and pasting the Cruz Stadium and adding a few details to it and calling it yours.
Oh my God. David's come back with the fire. Don't do that, man. Don't do that. It's a nice stadium.
YMCA just opened a soccer field here. New York City FC is going to call it their home within the next 2 weeks. They practically have a home stadium everywhere they go. All right.
Never play on the road.
If you want to see what not promoting and promoting at the same time is, look at Chicago Fire. They claim they promote their club, but the fans don't show up. Something is going on over there. DC United is showing a lot of ambition lately. They are squaring up against San Jose to see who has the worst owners in the league.
I think Colorado fans would jump on you on that one.
So there's a good thing there. I have a lot of other things to discuss, but those were my main things. Happy to be back. Thank you guys for having me back.
David, I love the fire takes there. That was brilliant.
Actually, three more.
Oh,
this one, just two regular things. I called Brenner horrible and I got heat for it. I'm sticking to it. He has not been what we expected, how much it was worth. First of all, with Locadia, whatever his name is, they did the same thing. Now Brenner's the same thing. Cincinnati has been better without him. LA Galaxy, listen. Douglas Costa, I believe his name is. Last name?
Douglas Costa, yeah.
Listen, I get he's a big name, but stop going for big name players and not producing anything.
Thank you. Been saying that for a while now.
Get over that. It's the past. We used to go for big name players, but now we go for young players that are hungry and actually contribute.
DC shouldn't go for Bale.
No.
All right. Just want to make sure you were staying consistent.
That. And two more. Porter should be out of Crew. He's done. I don't know why the Crew still have him around. I really don't know why. The Crew, they don't show any ambition. They need new ideas. They need something new. And it's time to move on. And last and not least, hey, Gavin, who's the goalkeeper for Chicago Fire?
Gaga Slonina.
Can we stop overhyping him, please? Y'all way too much into that dude. It's a little creepy. I know we get excited when we see young players come in, but 86% of his shots have been to his body in the center of the net.
Y'all is that like a real stat?
I just came up with that right now.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure, like, because if that's a real stat, that's actually
I watched the highlight video, because I haven't seen every Chicago Fire game, because, you know, there's so much of Chicago you could watch and so much entertainment to see from them on the freaking 0-0 matches, and they call it excellent games. Listen, a lot of those shots that I saw were right to his body. He's 17, 18 now, sorry. Young, yes. Future ahead, yes. But stop jumping on every double nationality player you see just because he's young. Jeez. Look what happened to Pepe. Look at what happened to Reynolds. Look what happened to Paredes. Kevin Paredes. Like, y'all need to cut that out. Let these kids grow. Let these kids play. Let them get minutes here. It's that simple. It's really ridiculous.
So with Slanina, he's had a couple mistakes back to back,
and that's why Greg didn't call him. He said due to his form.
Yeah, it's not been good. And it's like, here's the question I'll pose to you now that you've brought him up, because I think it's an interesting talking point. Chicago Fire are losing points because they're playing a 17, 18-year-old goalkeeper as their starter. Should they be doing that for a player who isn't going to be theirs in a year or two? They're getting looks, and
I think
transfer fee worth it to lose all these points right now?
Well, okay, so contrary to that, right, when they weren't losing points, when he was putting on a good game, they weren't being scored on. So it just, there was lack of scoring that they were having. But no, I think they should keep him. The value can go up if he stops making these mistakes in the last two games he's made. But I just want the fans in general to calm down a bit. A lot of overhype. And I don't have anything against the kid. I wish him the best. I'm happy he went with the United States instead of Poland. I wish he can play in a big club. But stop overhyping him. Like, I don't know what it is. He's not Ederson. Like, even Ederson has, like, he ain't that good. But, yeah, please, keep it down a bit. Chill. Like, let the kid breathe. Y'all acting like, at least, I logged in one day on Twitter, because I wasn't on Twitter much. And they're like, what a kid, put on a show, this and that. And, like, five out of the seven shots he received were right in the center. And this is just me going, okay, this is all these streets seem like promotion for his value to go up. And that being said, let's get into the games, because, you know, that's my list. I probably lost some of you, probably are not happy that I came back, but it's fun. This is fun. This is very fun. Go ahead, Gavin, take it over.
Can I bring up Brenner as well? Because I know you got heat for that.
I did get heat for that. And listen, you can give me whatever stat it is about his passing, about his accuracy. The point is, y'all dropped money. And I mean more than Ezekiel. Well, kind of like Ezekiel Barco money. But that man has not produced, Gavin, and you know that.
Oh, 100%. He hasn't produced. I think there's some context behind why he's not producing, but it's still a flop of a signing overall. I think I agree with that. He hasn't produced. He also hasn't been put in the best situation to produce.
You know a player hasn't produced when the first season, even before the season ended, he's already asking to leave. Internacional from Brazil came apparently with an offer, and homeboys told the club, yeah, please accept it, and they didn't want to accept it.
Yeah, because they were set to lose a ton of money. A ton of money. I think it was a 10 or 11 million offer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's been a flop thus far, and I don't think Cincinnati fans can argue with that. I think they just know the context that we don't know. I think there's been issues with his pay. There's been issues with the coaching. obviously with Yap Stam being there. Now they have Pat Noonan, and I don't know what else is going on. I think he was disciplined this week, so there's a lot going on with this player. It hasn't worked out at all. And maybe another conversation that can spark off of this just really quickly. A lot of these big money players don't tend to work out. You referenced Barco, but he was not a success. Beatty Martinez, was he a success? I don't think so. We're looking at them. As of right now, Facundo Torres hasn't been a big success in the league, and he was up to $10 million. Brenner, obviously, we just said wasn't a success. Is it worth it to spend all this money? Pulido hasn't been a success. Cavallini was $5 million. There's so many. There's so many examples. Is it worth it to spend all that money on a big player?
Here's my thing. We discussed this in the past. You got to spend smartly. And when I mean smartly, I mean you can create legends out of your team. Tati Castellano was bought really cheap. Really, really cheap. I think it was like $2 million, if I'm not mistaken.
He wasn't even a DP last year.
He wasn't. He was bought really cheap, and look at him succeed. Look at Lodeiro. Lodeiro came in for $5, $6 million, and Lodeiro has been one of the best in the league, and he's a Seattle Sounder legend. Look at Valeri when he came into the league years ago. Very cheap, and he became a legend. They're going to make him a statue. They're going to do this. They're going to do that for him. Spend money smartly. Look at currently FC Dallas with Velasquez. The kid is amazing. The kid is good. He's producing for them. He's showing a lot for $7.5 million.
You don't have to. David, yeah. Say it with me. Velasco.
Velasco.
Oh, Velasco.
Goal. Velasco.
Not Velasquez.
It's Velasco.
Sorry.
Velasco.
Go ahead.
But you don't have to spend big. Just, you don't. You spend smartly. Look, Joao Paulo before the injury. What did I say about Joao Paulo when I first saw him? You know, I was on that train. I was like, yo, this guy has it. It was one of my favorite right away. Like the first two games I saw him, he produced big time. I don't know what it is. I think we get overhyped when we see a South American player perform great and just want to get him right away. But we have to spend a little more smartly, get get better scouting, I guess. It's just, the big name players haven't really worked out lately for the league, and it's becoming an issue when it comes to make profit out of it. We can't make a profit out of it. Don't you agree?
100%, 150%. I agree with that. So don't want to get too stuck down in there. I guess let's go on to the weekend that was. Anything else you want to bring up before we talk about the matches this weekend?
Oh yes. Actually, I do want to say I was at the DC United game. We'll talk about this later. I went there with everybody knows I love DC, and if I criticized, you have to criticize your team. You can't all be praises. Every team has something to criticize, to be criticized for. I was at the DC United game. I was treated great. Thank you so much. Hospitality was great by the team there. We went as the part of the media team, and it was a great experience for me. I never actually imagined, when I first started the podcast about 3 years ago, that I was going to be part of the media crew at the press box and get to report on my favorite team in MLS. And it was such a great experience. It was very surreal. I was very overwhelmed. I couldn't stop taking pictures when I was there. Everybody was super nice. I got to meet great people. And thank you, DC United, for that experience. I know a lot of our team members have experienced that, but I hadn't had the chance. And I did, and it was amazing, but we'll talk about the game later on. Go ahead, Gavin.
Well, actually, the game is the first one in the of the weekend, so we can just start there. Just talk to me about the game.
Start there, buddy. Whatever you say, Gavin, you are the one that runs the show. You are the one that gets to pay the big bucks. You are the one that gets all these checks. Okay, listen, first of all, I must start off with Michael Bradley has nothing to do in Toronto anymore. I don't know why they still have him. I don't know why he's still part of the team. He's a legend in the U.S. men's national team. He is a legend for that part. Otherwise, at the moment, back 2 years ago, he was able to run the game, run the time, run the pace, control the game, control the pace. Not anymore. watching him there live, you can obviously see, if you see his passing accuracy, let's say that you say it's 85, because he makes the simple passes, the passes that are the most obvious. But he's not controlling the game. He's not controlling the time. He's not creating chances. He just looks like another regular player, and he has to be a difference if he's going to be in there. Big name player, Michael Bradley. But he's not. And it's just stating the fact is the man I was played 90 minutes. 90 minutes, by the way. No changes for Bob Bradley for his son. When you have a kid, Nelson, 19-year-old kid, I was highly impressed with him, Gavin. Watching him live, this kid is fast, pacey kid, great dribbler. He was giving a really good show, pretty good crosses. He's in charge of the free kicks as well. I am really hyped for this kid. Canada has a great future in that kid. But you sub him out. The kid that I thought was doing the best for Canada, other than Akinola. But they sub him out and leave Michael Bradley in. When, in my opinion, Michael Bradley was just slowing the game down and wasn't really creating much chances. And by the way, not to stay much of this game, that defense for Toronto, it is super shaky. Super, super shaky. They have a hard time playing from the back. They have a very hard time when they're pressed. And there is no communication between them. Like, very, very, very bad communication. They do not talk to each other. They do not point to each other. They do not instruct each other anything. The only time they would talk to each other is after a mistake was made, and they were screaming to each other. Other than that, it's bad. That defense is bad. Insigne is going to have a hard time with that team if it hasn't changed within the next few weeks. Going over to DC United, pretty impressed with them. I'm impressed with Estrada. He had a one goal, one assist, one hit the post. Very obvious chance he had. He should have scored. Fontas, oh, dude, I love that dude. Pacey, fast, reminds me of Jovinko so much. Great vision. Very good. Gresso as well. The amount of hard work Gresso puts into the game, how much he recovers the ball, how much he runs back and forth. Brad Smith, it's a beast there as well. One thing, if I had to criticize DC United on, is the intensity. If you're going to come out with intensity, you got to finish with intensity. You cannot, especially at the end of the matches, first half, the intensity wasn't there anymore. Toronto took control of the ball. Second half, when Toronto tied it up after a rebound from Hamid, DC United showed no sense of urgency. They were just raw jogging. And if you're playing at home in front of 17, 18,000 fans, you got to show some sense of urgency. To 5 minutes left in the game, you have to show, again, some type of urgency. They want to get the ball across. You want to get the ball ahead, and they didn't do that. And second of all, they got to take care of the chances. A lot of opportunities missed for DC. And I mean a lot of opportunities missed. And I remember when it was halftime, I was talking to one of the personnel at the media box, and I said, hopefully this game doesn't finish where the team that created the most chances is the team that ends up losing points. And it ended up like that. DC United created the most chances, and they lost 2 points. It was a tie, 2-2. It's technically losing 2 points. They should have taken advantage of the opportunities more. And that's my take on it, Gavin.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I like the bit about intensity the best. A lot of times in this league, and really all over the world, teams will start off with intensity. They'll get a goal or two, and then they'll just kind of drop off. And I understand you can't be that intense for 90 minutes. It's very, very difficult. So you have to pick your moments. But when you're not intense, you have to be still up for it. You still have to fight. You still have to make sure you're covering the ground. You're finishing your chances. You're being calm in the final third. And really, DC didn't, do that. I don't think that they created the chances and they snatched at them. They didn't take them, and they left the door open for Toronto to come back in, and it's a late equalizer from Osorio. So unfortunate for them there. Next up is Columbus 0 LAFC 2. Long rain delay for this one, and look, just LAFC, I think, were the beneficial party out of the rain delay, because you know, Columbus were home and all their fans had left, and it was kind of a dead game. And I think we all agree LAFC are the better team, so any sort of home advantage was taken out of it. And then it was really just a, I'm sorry, David, it was a boring game to watch. And LAFC took their two chances, and Columbus didn't really put up much of a fight. So 2-0 LAFC. Any quick thoughts on this match?
I think the weather delay and the weather situation. I think the Crew, if there's no response from the Crew in the next game, I think they have given up on Caleb Porter. That's my take. That's my only take on it.
You think players are what they call downing tools, where they just kind of give up on the coach?
If they show no intention in the next game, then yes. We just need to see something from them. Literally, I think MLS Gone Wild tweeted this, and it made a lot of sense. It feels like ages ago when the Crew won the cup, and it does.
Yeah,
and it does. And it's
a different team for sure. Like they're obviously they lost some pieces, but it's definitely a different team. That was a good point from him and you for bringing that up. I think it might be time. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's gotten to that point where this season has been stale. People are questioning his decisions, whether it be for Matan, who he doesn't like, he doesn't bring off the bench, or why is he starting certain players over others? Why is Miguel Berry there, and why did they move on from Zardes? I know that's not all on the coach per se, but this team is a good team. Zada Ryan, Yaya Boa, Luis Diaz, Derek Etienne, Miguel Berry. That should be a pretty solid attack. And you can put those pieces together to create chances and score goals. And right now, Porter's system isn't doing that. So Columbus definitely have some real problems on their hands. Next up on the list is Cincinnati 2, New England 3. This match surprised me big time. And one of our listeners, I can't find the tweet, but one of our listeners, I put out a tweet, David, and I said, I'm very surprised that Cincinnati lost at home to New England. This league, it's always throwing up surprises, and that's why I love it. And like the fan says, imagine writing that at the start of the season or like in preseason, right? Considering what happened last year and with both of these teams, New England being the best ever, Cincinnati being wooden spoon winners again. What have you made of Cincinnati this season?
I think as the time goes by, you can see Pat's hand all over. And as the games go by, you can see a little more different Cincinnati, more dynamic team, a more aggressive team. And more ideas in the attack. That's what I was missing, more ideas in the attack as well. I'm really happy for them. If they can get Brenner in, because for me they've been playing a little better without Brenner, if they can get Brenner in and he can adapt, him and Acosta can do a lot of damage, and Vasquez can keep killing it in the league. I'm really happy for them, and it's very deserved. The fan base deserves. And I know they lost, but how they played, the intensity they played, the chances they created, it's starting to feel like it is a different Cincinnati. Don't you agree?
Oh, 100% it's a different Cincinnati. They got a midfield finally, David. Do you remember that conversation we had beginning of last year about how they need a midfield? And I wasn't impressed, and they had Kubo, and you were like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, they need they have a midfield now. They got Moreno in from you guys. They got Nwoboto, a DP midfielder. And they're winning games left, right, and central now. Obviously, they lost this one. But overall, they have a midfield. and that's the most important thing here. New England, could they be back? Is this a turnaround result for them?
Is Josie injured?
Probably, knowing him. I haven't heard anything.
Listen, that Buxa goal was amazing. So was the Gigi goal. Mm-hmm. It was very good. I need to see a little more from them in the next two games. I want to see how they perform. I'm not going to call they back yet. I just want to see the next two games so they can still keep up that intensity.
Yeah. From the Atlanta match, I felt they were pretty lucky. I said that last weekend with Andrew. I felt they were pretty lucky in terms of getting the result. They were kind of bad on the day, and then Buxa just kind of got them two goals, and he has been in very good form for New England. So as long as he keeps scoring, I think they can keep winning. But when teams figure out how to stop that, it's gonna cause problems again. And I'm interested to see how Bruce Arena deals with that next phase of, okay, now I can't get the ball to Buxa for whatever reason, and he can't get the ball in the back of the net. So how am I going to create now? Like, how am I going to create space, and who am I going to use in that space? So very interesting. But yeah, I agree. I do want to see a little bit more before I start calling them a playoff team again. All right, last game on Saturday was Nashville 2, Atlanta United 2. Another rain delay. And I think, didn't the Cincy match have a rain delay as well? I think there were three rain delays. Yep. So forgot about that. Thiago Almada getting another goal. Dom Dwyer getting another goal. That's two on the season for Mr. Dom Dwyer. Nashville tying at home puts them at, what is that, two wins and two draws at home this season in all competent or in MLS. So an undefeated start for Nashville at home, and this is a team that never lost, that did not lose a single home game last season. So par for the course for them. But I'm going to say I think it's a little disappointing to be drawing with Atlanta at home, well, especially this Atlanta in the shape they're in. Do you agree?
Yeah, it must be hard to play at the Crew Stadium.
Why are you saying that? Why are you saying that?
No, look.
Ben's going to kill you.
I think Nashville has, and I called it, man. They were going to have a harder time in the West. It's not as easy. But Atlanta, I mean, they faced each other so many times. I think Atlanta United is one of those teams that, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what to make. Like, sorry, I don't know what to make out of Atlanta United. Sometimes they look good with Cisneros has. I'm sorry, Ronaldo Cisneros has a hat trick. Sometimes they look really bad. Sometimes they look decent. Sometimes the defense looks like they suck. Sometimes the goalkeeper looks like they suck. Sometimes it looks like they're good because even Dom Dwyer scoring. I really don't know what to make of them. I think Nashville really needs to take advantage of the points at home. They really need to get it going because the West is very competitive. And once they start playing teams in the West, once they go up to their stadiums, teams like LAFC, teams like Seattle, teams like Sporting KC, and among others, even if you have beat them once, it's still a hard time to go up against them and beat them a second time. So I think it's a little wake-up call they need to have in Nashville.
Yeah, and we kind of, Andrew and I had this conversation last weekend, and I think you and I have had this before, but basically my take is some teams in this league do better away from home than at home, because at home they're supposed to be dominant, they're supposed to be creating chances, and the only team that, or the only player on the team who can really do that is Mukhtar, right? Leal can do a little bit of it. Sapong can hold up and link play, but he's not really a creative player other than that. So Mukhtar is a very difficult player to shut down, but if you shut him down or he's having an off night, then Nashville all of a sudden look really, really devoid of any ideas going forward. For example, last match or two matches ago against Houston Dynamo, they were on the road. They went up a man with 65 minutes to play or 55 minutes to play, and it was 1-0 at the time, and they lost the game 2-0. They played 55 minutes with an extra player on the field. They didn't have Mukhtar on, and they weren't able to score a single goal, let alone win the game. So that's kind of my take there. All right, moving on into Sunday, Montreal 1, RSL 2. David, I was very, 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 very wrong about RSL and how their season would go under Mastroeni. I have to say, I did the rewatch this past week for the RSL versus Austin match from last weekend, obviously. And RSL, like, I really like the way they play. They're very direct. They don't really try and keep possession of the ball, but every time they get it, their first thought is to go forward and think of how can we break down the other team as quickly as possible and get to goal. It's a very simple tactic, and honestly, it's kind of surprised me at how well it's doing in this league. David, it's literally get the ball, and they don't always go long, but their full intention, their full mentality is when they get the ball, try and go towards goal. They don't want to keep possession around the back like maybe an Austin does, you know?
So I think most of our credit to both teams. Both teams have had a very good season so far.
Yes.
Both teams have been playing very good soccer. Montreal has been playing very exciting soccer, and it's a reward. They're in first place. Second of all, RSL, the only thing I can say about them is, even though roster to roster they're not up there with other teams, like if you put roster to roster, other teams have better rosters, they're not afraid to set up their players one versus one against your team because they believe in their players. And that's what's getting it done for them. You can have all starters you want on your team, and RSL was still, under Mastroianni, step them on the field and have them go one-on-one against you. And sooner or later, they're going to beat you, and they did in this last game, and they came out with the win. It was a very good comeback from them.
Yeah, you know, Montreal, one of the best teams in the league this season, go up in the first minute. You think, okay, it's going to be a fun day for Montreal. But you're right, RSL did come back and have a good game. One of my favorite things from the rewatch, actually, was it was like the 92nd minute, and Mastroianni made a sub, and he went to a three at the back. And the very next play, Austin got in down the right-hand side, because they were originally at four at the back. And Austin got down the right-hand side, crossed it to Driussi, and Driussi forced a really, really good save out of McMath. And the very next instant, RSL are back in a back four. And I loved that, because so many coaches would have just stuck with their decision and said, okay, it didn't work there, but maybe it'll work next time. And he said, nope, I'm not. Something didn't work there. I'm not going to try it again. So he moved things around immediately. He had just brought a left back on, and that left back moved to left winger. It was Tate Schmidt. And I really, really liked that from a coach. It's not something you see often. So that was something I really liked from the rewatch. But overall, yes, RSL, they have been a surprise. Both teams have been good. You are right. Montreal deserve lots of credit. It is two losses in a row. I'm not worried yet, personally. I think it was a midweek loss. Yeah, so it was a midweek loss and then third match in a week. Understandable. And the last two were road matches. So some context there. Context, people. Next up, David, as I'm clicking back to find where we were at. Charlotte 2, Vancouver 1. Any takes on this match?
Charlotte has been fun to watch, man. I think they're one of the best, they're one of the good inaugural teams. I like the atmosphere the fans are bringing into it. I've seen their tailgating videos. It looks really fun. And they just are very fun to keep up with. One thing that I did notice about them is they like scoring, man. They're not afraid to have that power in scoring. The only bad thing is they're having a hard time defending.
Yeah, I was about to say, they've had, two clean sheets?
Yeah.
Three? Yeah.
They're not afraid. So let me rephrase that.
They've had four clean sheets.
Let me rephrase that. Not scoring. They love creating chances, not scoring. Rephrase that. Ignore that David said they love scoring. They love creating chances, but they have a hard time defending. And they need to fix that. Also, it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, they have the fewest goals in the league. Only Chicago is below them with 11 goals. They have 12 goals in the season so far, so they need to get it going. That's why I rephrased it. They've created a lot of chances, a lot, and I mean a lot. You go back to the stats, they have created chances against DC United. They created a lot of chances, for example. They just can't seem to finish off. Currently, though, they somehow managed to be in seventh place, last spot, right behind Cincinnati. 1 point, actually tied with Atlanta, 1 point behind, 1 point in front of New England and Inter Miami, which surprisingly are still fighting. They need a number 10, a real number 10, a playmaker, a creative player, somebody that stands out. For me, nobody has stood out yet in Charlotte.
Yeah, their best offensive player from the midfield, I think, is Bender, the draft pick. But yeah, he's not a creator. He's a late run goal scorer. Like he makes runs from deep and then puts the ball in the net. But he's not really a creative player. Yeah. So I think that's a good shout. They need some creativity in there.
And my last thought on it, Vancouver. I don't know, man. Davis was the last exciting thing that you guys had.
I feel bad for them. I think they've been better. I don't know. Like, maybe I just have a soft spot for Vancouver, but I feel like they've been a little better than the results are saying. But I think it's also the players aren't scoring the chances either. So, like, last week my fired up was Dahomey. Because every time I watch him, he's just missing chances. He's getting in good positions, but he's never scoring them. So that doesn't help. And as a coach, I don't know how you strike that balance when you have a player who gets into really good positions time and time and time again, and then doesn't score them. It's similar to like Sergio Santos for Philadelphia. Like if that dude could score, he would start every week because he gets into good goal scoring chances like every single game. But then he just mishits the ball 9 times out of 10, or he hits it too hard or whatnot. And so he's just someone on the bench for Philadelphia. Really, really hard to strike that balance as a coach. And Vancouver might just need a new player in there to do something. But unfortunately, they haven't had him available because White and Gauld have been out for most of this season. But yeah, a good win for Charlotte at home. They're really making that place a fortress, and that's nice to see. NYCFC are making City Field a fortress, as this is yet another game at City Field for them with a 1-0 win over Chicago, Hebert on the penalty.
Not much in this game for me. New York City FC control dominated. Chicago Fire barely had the ball, barely had 300, had not even 300 passes for Chicago Fire. So that's how much you talk about this game for them. Since New York City FC controlled the game and they were very much deserved of this win.
David, I'm finding it hard nowadays to talk about NYCFC whenever they play at home at a baseball field, because they always tend to do well there, and the other team always tends to struggle because it's at the baseball field. It's at the really small pitch. I don't know. I find it really difficult to talk about. Do you? I almost always write those games off for the away team.
It's their advantage. Every team has an advantage, and that's their advantage, and good for them.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's fair. Some teams have turf. Yeah, that's a good point.
Not much on me from that game, man. I said what I had to say about Chicago, and good for New York City FC. They deserve that win, and they showed more on the field.
Yep. Inter Miami 2, New York Red Bulls 0. I read a quote earlier today. I can't find it. It was from, I think, Sean Nealis, Red Bulls center back. And he said they were really frustrated that they lost this game because they felt they didn't keep the intensity after the first 10 to 15 minutes. And he said that it's really difficult in the hot weather to keep that intensity. He said something along the lines of, it's not an excuse, but because we need to keep that intensity going, but it was difficult, or something like that. To me, that makes sense. You know, it's been a hot weekend here in Florida. I got really sunburned this weekend, and I get it. As a coach, though, I feel like you need to change your tactics up a bit then and maybe sit a little bit deeper. That's not a New York Red Bulls thing to do because, you know, they've been pressing a ton this season, like even more than they usually do, I think, in my opinion, and they're doing a really good job of it. But I don't think you can go down to a Florida team in the humid, hot weather and press for 60 minutes or something like that. So, yeah, I can see how they kind of faded out of the match and Inter Miami took advantage and got a 2-0 win. And it's just one of those kind of random wins for MLS, in my opinion. What did you make of the 2-0 win for Miami?
Good for Inter Miami. You count the U.S. Open Cup, they have four games without losing.
Wow,
good, yeah. Good for them. I think at home, they're a different team. At home, they perform really good. And at home, the crowd is behind them. And not playing Wayne that much really helps them out. It benefits them. And by the way, their player, Campana, I believe his name is. What a player. What a good player.
Oof. Yeah.
What an amazing pick for them. So hopefully they can keep it up. And then New York Red Bulls. I see what you mean. I mean, especially they're from New York. They're not used to that. Well, they're used to that kind of heat in New York as well. But I see what you mean going down there. But like I mentioned earlier, every team has their advantage and Inter took care of that advantage for them. But you are right. The coach has to come up with a strategy and has to come up and know what their players are going to face, and not just on the field, but outside the field.
Yeah, definitely. Next up on our list here is Dallas losing at home 2-1 to Minnesota.
Dallas losing at home 2-1 to Minnesota. Okay, Gavin, I get it.
That's a surprise. No? They've been amazing this year.
They've been amazing, and they control the game. Almost 70% ball possession. They just... Look, 19 shots, 3 on target. That's pretty bad, Gavin.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. And then the team that had 32% ball possession had 6 shots, had 3 more shots than you. 6 shots on target. You got to take care of those chances, man. A lot of these teams are suffering for not taking care of the chances. A lot. And, I mean, Ariola, it's a beast. He's been playing. Ariola has been on fire for FC Dallas. So Velasco as well. So has Ferreira. And they can prove it. But good, very good for Laud. Scoring the 20th minute. Minnesota really needed this win. And they went into Dallas. They got the win. Now they're dipping. And good for them. I think that Minnesota is learning to play more without the ball. I don't know what to make of them. They're one of those teams that Sporting KC, when they have good games and they don't have, and others are bad games, but they really needed this win. I mean, counting the Open Cup, right? So don't count the Open Cup. They haven't won 1, 2, 3 in their last 3 matches in the MLS, and they really needed this win. Against LA Galaxy, they didn't have the ball. They lost possession as well. Against RSL as well, they basically were tied 50-50 with ball possession. And like I mentioned, they're getting used to not having the ball. Last year, they dominated with the ball. And good for them for getting those 3 points in Dallas.
Yeah, definitely good for them. It's interesting because Dallas, their last 2 games, they played a midweek match against Vancouver, and then they were away to Galaxy on the weekend. Their last 2 matches, they were on the road, and then they lost at home. Yeah. And then the same thing happened with Montreal. They played midweek, their last 2 matches on the road. Then they go home on the weekend for the 3rd match in 7 days or whatnot. They lose at home. And then a match we're going to talk about later, Austin, they had their last 2 matches on the road before they played today at home. And they got lucky with a draw, which we will talk about. So it's interesting how the fatigue is kind of setting in on that 3rd match. Even at home, it's not enough to get them over the line. Big win for Minnesota on the road. Not saying they didn't deserve it or anything like that. Dallas, just that result really surprised me. Next up is a 1-1 draw between San Jose and SKC. San Jose just can't seem to like get their act together and start putting a string of good results together.
They've been playing fun.
Yeah, they've been really fun to watch. I mean, I've watched a lot of their games since Almeida has left, specifically to see what they would look like, because my big take was obviously once they lose Almeida, they'll be a competent team. And I don't think they've lost since he's left yet, but a lot of close matches. They beat Colorado 1-0. They beat Seattle Sounders in the Open Cup on penalties, tied Vancouver, barely beat Portland, and just tied at home to a really bad SKC team. So not sure what to make of them. They've been fun to watch, but this is going to be a disappointing result at home.
Yeah, definitely. I've been impressed at how well they've been playing, but they need to take care of points at home. They need those wins. I get it. You can make some changes morale-wise, but it needs to show on the field as well, and hopefully they can start making points. And then Sporting KC, not much on them. Injuries have really hit them a lot, and it's understandable, but somebody has to step up in that team.
Yep, definitely. And there's no one really to step up, right? Like,
not at the moment.
I mean, Johnny Russell?
Yeah, but he needs help. He can't do it all by himself. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there's something missing within that team in the midfield. I know Purito's out for the rest of the season, but
Gotti Kinda's out as well, but still.
Yeah, it's like they don't have any power off the bench at all.
I mean, they don't have any power from the starting lineup.
Moving on.
Yeah, definitely. Up next was, ugly game. 3-0 win for Houston in LA against the LA Galaxy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why, very quick. Gavin, Houston Dynamo 3. LA Galaxy 0. Gavin, Houston Dynamo 27% ball possession. 262 passes compared to 693 passes for LA Galaxy. This is what you call smart strategic coaching. You take advantage of the mistakes, you take advantage of the chances you create, you hit them on the counter, and you defend with all you have. Good for them, LA Galaxy. We expect a lot more from you, a lot more from the team in general. They need to show more. Vasquez needs to show more. Delgado needs to show more. Alvarez needs to step up bigger as well. Not the best for LA Galaxy at the moment.
Is Greg Vanney on the hot seat for you?
Is Greg Vanney on the hot seat? That's a very good question. I'm going to say... Who does Galaxy play next in the next two games? Let's see. Galaxy goes and faces LAFC in the Open Cup, Austin and Portland. I think that if Vanney does not beat Austin and Portland, I think he's out.
You think he's out? Like he will leave?
I think he should leave. Look at this, right? You have LAFC in the Open Cup, because no matter if it is an Open Cup or not, it's a must win. You have Austin, Galaxy, Portland, and then you have San Jose. Say what you want about San Jose, but it's still a classic. It's still a derby. You got to come away with at least 9 points out of these four games.
Is that counting the Open Cup game? So three wins. Yes, really.
Three wins. You have to have three wins. Otherwise, I think fans are going to be calling for his head.
Yeah, I don't know. Those are some tough games, man. I mean, Austin's been really good this season. Portland's been awful. And San Jose should be a win as well.
They have to prove themselves.
Yeah. For me, Vanney and LA Galaxy started hot the last two seasons. Right, and then they've kind of been meh for the middle portions of the seasons, and then they just don't turn it around. Yeah. And I think looking at the next four games, it is a good stretch to see can he turn this skid around. 3-1 loss to Dallas, 1-1 draw to Minnesota, 3-1 loss at home to Dallas, 1-1 draw in Minnesota, and then in a game where that game could have gone either way, to be fair, but Minnesota were creating a ton of chances, and then 3-0 loss at home to Houston Dynamo. I think the blueprint has been set to how to play against Galaxy. Orlando City played the exact same way against them, sat deep, didn't really try and break them down too much, got a goal early on and just said, come break us down, and they didn't. RSL got a win over them. It was at home, to be fair, but RSL, again, they'll sit deep and then just play direct whenever they get the ball. So teams that do that are kind of seeing a lot of success against the Galaxy. Dallas did that too in their win over them. And I think the blueprint is there. Sit deep, counter, win, sort of thing. 2-2. Austin, Orlando City. Two red cards for Orlando City. David. Rodrigo Schlegel gets a red card in the 60th minute for a second yellow card offense in the box, which is, he is in the wall, he is in the middle of the wall.
It's a handball.
And ref calls a handball. I'm not really sure why that's a yellow card. I'm not even sure it's a handball personally, but like, if you want to argue that his arm's away from his body, like, I mean, yeah, you can call that an unnatural position, but I don't know what you're supposed to do with your arm when you get bumped in the back by your player. I think that's a pretty natural position when you get bumped, but refs don't look at context nowadays. They just look at, does the ball hit the arm? And I think that's ridiculous. I think we should be looking at context a bit when it comes to calls. But anyways, I'm going to try and be a little unbiased. Ball does hit the arm. His elbow is out. So if you're going to call a handball, fine. I'm not sure how that's a yellow. It's not deliberate. It's not. It's incidental. He's getting bumped. So the ref gives a second yellow. Literally a minute before, he gave him his first yellow for an exact same situation where there's a shot. His arm is out, blocks the shot, yellow card. I'm not even sure that's a yellow either, to be fair. It's just like he's not deliberately doing it. It's just his arm kind of moved out there by accident because he's a player moving at high speed. What do we know? So he's off, okay? Orlando City were up 2-0. They were dominating this match. Austin had no way of getting back into it until this scenario of free kick and then penalty and then goal from the penalty spot. And then Cesar Araujo absolutely loses his head, goes in for a slide tackle on Alexander Ring, kicks out at him, hits him in the nuts. straight red, correct call. And Orlando City have had an issue with referees for a while now. When a ref makes a bad call, Orlando City loses its head and can't keep its composure. See the playoffs in 2020. We saw it a lot last year as well as an Orlando City fan. And then, David, Austin are piling on the pressure. They're putting bodies into the box. When I mean bodies, I'm talking 6-7 players into the box to try and get a knockdown and a fluke goal. And they almost did. They hit the post. They force a really big save out of Galese. And then they get a corner that is clearly a goal kick. Clearly a goal kick. And from that corner, they take it short, cross it in, and score. And so Orlando City fans are pretty frustrated with this match because they felt that they were robbed. I am inclined to agree we should not have gone down to 10 men. I personally don't think we should have had a penalty given against us. So that's kind of the context of that match. Orlando City were absolutely dominant, were very comfortable in the game until the penalty. And it just flipped the script. And I've been talking about red cards a lot, David. It's been way too easy to hand out red cards this season. Again, Araujo's was definitely a red. Rodrigo Schlegel, on the other hand, that's not a red for me. It's not. Those two incidents are not yellow cards, and that does not equal a red card, and you have to leave the field. The punishment doesn't fit the crime, and really frustrating as a fan of this sport, of this team, of this league, to see a match like that just completely get flipped on its head so quickly. what did you make of the match? I don't know if you saw it, and kind of my summary of the calls. Do you have any takes on that?
No, the only take is I think we have a long way to go with the referees. I remember Zlatan criticized them as well, and even like at, I think it was at an All-Star game when he met the people in charge, he even told them that they needed a lot of work to be done and needed better communication with the players between them. There's a lot to desire, and I'm not sure why we're not using the VAR so much. But that's what it's there for, to help us and to make less mistakes as humans. That's one of the things that the MLS is criticized on, and is rightly so, rightful so, to criticize them, is the refs have a better job to do and can do much better. That's my only take on them.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree there. All right, coming to the end of the night here, we're looking at Colorado 1, Seattle Sounders 0. Jonathan Lewis finally getting on the score sheet again. Man has been rough as of late. He's been struggling to score. Beating Seattle. Wow. Not going to lie, this is my first time seeing the result. Colorado have been poor this season, so that's a big surprise to me.
Yeah, they needed this win. They needed this confidence. And they got it, and I'm happy for them. Even though they did struggle with not having the ball much, but they created the most chances, is rightfully so, to get that win, and especially at home. You got to take advantage of those points at home. And it was, if you want to get a win, if you want to get your confidence back, then why not do it against Seattle Sounders, who just won the CONCACAF Champions League final?
Right.
There's in my mind, no better team to beat to get your confidence back. And Colorado got it done, and good for them.
Yeah. And again, Seattle played midweek. They played midweek away from home. This is their second away game in a row, with this being third game in seven games, yada, yada. So that's always going to bring up some crazy results, but you still got to get the job done. I'm pretty sure Colorado played midweek as well. So, like, I don't think that's something we can really blame on this match in particular. So, yeah, good for Colorado. Busting out that win. They've just been so inconsistent this season. I can see them making playoffs, because it's, you know, David, it's so easy to make playoffs nowadays. Yeah. You could kind of sneak into seventh with a pretty poor season. I could see them doing it, but it's gonna be a lot different than last season, I think, where obviously they finished first. And Portland, Philadelphia, my biggest take this season, David, Savarese needs to go. That's been one of my big takes. Do you agree with that?
At the moment, during the 80th minute, Philadelphia is up 2-0, and somehow you have 62% possession of the ball, but zero shots on target. I don't agree with it yet, Gavin. I think we should let the season finish first. But, yeah, it's looking pretty hot for him. Hopefully something happens, because they do have a good lineup, and something needs to get going for them.
Yeah, just the soccer that they're playing, for me, it doesn't fit their players, and he's not turning it around. So I get what you're saying about the time, but I think it's hit a stale point for Portland, which is maybe crazy for me to say, because they were literally in the final last year. They hosted the final last year. This season's been really disappointing, though, from a Portland standpoint.
Yeah, I think, like I said, he deserves it based on what he has done. He deserves a little more time. And if he doesn't get it done, yeah, after the season, he should go.
Yeah, I don't know how bad it has to get for them to fire him mid-season. I think that's a good point. It would probably have to be, like, really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
I think that's fair, because he's been around for so long that they probably won't fire him mid-year, even though I think they should if they want to revive their season and their chances. All right, let's go ahead and end it with a fired-up candidate, David.
Go for it.
I am contemplating going after Pro and attacking them, but I won't do it. I'm looking at Michael Bradley. Like you said, that match was really poor from him, and Toronto have been struggling big time recently. He needs to to kind of use his experience, his knowledge of the mat, of the game, and guide Toronto through this. And, you know, he can only do so much as the midfield pivot and the player who passes the ball around, but he needs to create more, I think, and not just keep possession. He needs to try and be dangerous. So that's my fired up. David, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking some MLS with you, and I am glad that you're back with us.
Thank you guys for the support. Thank you, Gavin. If you dislike my list, then get ready because I have another list next week.
Yes, sir. Can't wait to hear.
See you guys. Bye.